Ladies and gentlemen, back for the second go-around in the one that was so popular not too long ago, a thing called the Monster Mash. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Mr. Bobby Pickett.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. Ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sound. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hound. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Oh.
Out from his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drac's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And you, my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Vic, sorry about that. And then, by the way, I was referring on our sponsors. So we have wonderful sponsors. And if you listen to what we're selling here, you will pick up a lot of things that will help you. Okay. Anyway, Vic, go ahead.
We lost him.
Oh,
we
well,
hit the wrong button.
Oh, that is too bad. This guy wrote a book that really got my attention, but it was a long time ago, called Waking God's Prophet. You know, when Billy told me that he was doing the movie, I really thought this is the right guy for this, because if you read Waking God's Prophet, you know, what he does is he does a great job of visualizing the spiritual realm in the real world around us, you know, angels and demons, and, you know, everything that you read about in the Bible, only real, not something that's in your imagination or you have to have faith in, but actually there. And so I knew in reading Someday, because I've read the chapters of Someday as Billy's been writing them, he sends them to me and I read them, and I knew that this was
all right.
The right guy for this movie.
Yeah, drag him back in, Mike. He's back there. Hey, Vic.
Hey, sorry about that. I mean, he doesn't like Boris Karloff, right?
Yeah. The other night I made the mistake of handing my granddaughter Puck the mic, so she wanted to talk on the air and all that kind of stuff. And she did a little twirl and everything, and I got disconnected from my own show.
I just made it to the house, and the commander in chief called, So, you know, she took precedence. And now my dog's going nuts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
You know, one thing, Vic, that I'm really, really proud of is when the first time I met you was in a session in Harker Heights, Texas, and you were recording a religious album and everything. But I was really impressed at I didn't record religious stuff at all. I recorded gag songs and country and West, stuff like that. And Vic would sit down with a bass guitar or anything. And just go to it. Didn't matter what you were recording. He was there to help, right there. And also, he's got a sense of humor. I'm going to out you, Vic. He didn't care a lot about Jim Baker, to put it mildly. And so he sat down one day and he wrote a rap song called the PTL Rap.
I can't believe you still remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to.
You know that.
Jimmy going to heal you. Just reach out and touch your TV set.
That's it. Yeah. That's crazy. I haven't heard that. I haven't even thought about that song, but it went, I can't do it. I'll be a ghost. Brother Jimmy, Sister Tammy of PTL, according to the gospel of Jerry Falwell, got themselves in a world scandal, unethical, ironical, who thought it was scriptural, casual, sexual, party secretarial. It was Jessica. You get the rap, the PTL rap. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We got a guy from New York, Billy Powell, just phenomenal singer, and Les Huff, which was with the Debonairs. And I wrote this thing because I was mad. Because if you remember, I was a youth pastor for the First Assemblies, and it just upset me. The irony of it is, I told my youth group, I said, at least this would never happen to our leader. Jimmy Swaggart, you knew what happened with Jimmy, but anyway, that we cut it and they released it, and I can't remember the label out of California. It was LL Cool J's label that he was with, and so they wanted to sign us. Letterman wanted the song. Because we were called, they said, we just released it, without a name of the group. And Mike Butts with B93 was interviewing me. He says, you got to have a name. Because we gave him a two-track tape. We didn't even have the records pressed. And he played a two-track tape first on B93. I don't know if y'all remember B93, but it was 100,000 watts of pure Austin wavelength,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he says, you're a youth pastor. I said, yeah, I'm a youth pastor. He says, wow. And I said, man, the fundamental Baptists are going to really let me have it when they hear, that I've done this record. And then I had that thought, and I went, you know what, Mike, we're going to be the fundamental Baptists. And that's what our name was.
I'll tell you a little secret. Back when, in those days, what I was doing with which wife was I on? Okay, it was Pam. Anyway, I put a thing together with John, and this is where I ended up in your studio for that one song about chicken feces. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song.
we put together an album. Started out with a song called The Dark-Headed Homeboy. And went down from there. And to sell it, me and Pam constructed little trees out of coat hangers, and we put the cassette tape in a sandwich bag and sealed it with an iron, and we hung them on the tree, and then we distributed them down 6th Street and called the album Another Little Bag of Dope from Texas.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. Those were good days. Those were good days.
Man.
In the studio last night, I can't really disclose any of the names of the guys that were there, but if I said them, you'd know who they were. I'll give you a hint. One of them was married to one of the Dixie Chicks wives. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
But, man, just phenomenal. All these guys are phenomenal. And, you know, we chart everything out before we do our sessions. And, if it's my song, I'll do it on guitar just real quick. And they're so pro. And, you know, though you've been to the Nashville scene, you understand how it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did four songs. All the rhythm tracks and scratch vocals, but it's just amazing the amount of talent that came in that studio. I'll take you to that studio when we go, because they put up a lot of memorabilia of me and Dale and such, which was an honor. But John Stacy, I'll mention his name. He's with Kevin Fowler right now, drum.
Well, you know, when I met Dale McBride, I was warned that he was hardcore and he was hard to get along with and all that. But he was always nice to me. Always.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the most ignorant songwriter you ever met when I started out. And he gave me tips and stuff like that. So you can't judge people by what other people say. He's the one that told me, so when you go to Austin or Nashville, a lot of people say, well, the system is rigged and you got to pay this and do that and everything. But what it really is if you don't have it, you won't make it. You'll make it. If you have a hit song, you will make it.
That was my biggest honor is, I got to write, I think we wrote 20 or so songs together. And one we released, it was called The High Cost of Loving. And we made the very first music video that was released in Europe. And we were about to do a worldwide tour, we called it. It was actually just going to England and play with Slim Whitman. I think it was Hank Thompson or Hank Snow, I can't remember. But anyway, it was going to be called the Has Been Tour because Dell and I wrote this song called Has Been. But one of the lines in it was, to be a has-been, you had to have been, you know? So, I mean, it everybody signed on to it, and that's when Dale got sick and, you know, unfortunately, had to pull the reins back on that pony. But, man, what an incredible model of a man that he was. He was my mentor, and, whenever I needed to seek counsel, he was the one that I went to. He was just a brilliant, musician, artist, but more importantly, he was just an incredible Christian man, and
that's something, Dick, I've always admired about you, is Christians take a bad rap these days with the woke crowd and all that, but you are a human. I'd like putting this movie together that we're putting together right now. We're dealing with a character, a 15-year-old girl who's being played by a 15-year-old girl, and Puck is she's Z generation to the nines, and we actually have to tone her down at times, you know. But Dick will get in there, and he lets the real spirit of our children come out, you know. Some of the things that she said, nothing vulgar, no language or anything like that.
Right.
But some of the things that she says are downright awakening, you know, because that's what Roger's doing over at TLB on his shows. It's called Just for Children, The Voice of Our Children, and he has long conversations with Puck, and she drags it out, and she'll surprise us. Like, he'll bring up transgender and everything, and she'll back up from it. I don't want to say anything about that. I don't have anything against those people. Live like you want to live. And we're sitting there shaking our heads, but that's the way these kids think. You go ahead, Vic.
Yeah. We were, on the movie Gabe, it's going to be, I'm going to get some blowback. You know that. I'm going to get.
Oh yeah.
But I wanted to to be transparent and authentic in the message that this movie is going to give. Because I mean, there's there's some pretty crazy scenes in there, you know, that when my partners, my director, the director, producer, and my agent, I said, man, I think I'm straddling the gray line. Let's put it that way. They said, well, what? Tell me about it. You know, and I told them, they said, I think we can make that work. But, you know, it's brutal in some parts, but it's real life, you know. What would an archangel do if somebody he was sworn to protect touched her, even touched her, or attempted to touch her? You have the might of heaven. And there's one scene, I'll share this with him. Gabe, he's in the persona of an 80-year-old man. And these four thugs are cousins, and they're just heathens, ungodly. And I'm not going to go through what all they're doing, but anyway, he's about to just put a fury on their butts. And anyway, he looks up to heaven. He says, please, please let me, you know, just annihilate him. And he puts it down. He says, well, unfortunately, I was told that I can only maim and disable you or something. I can't remember what I said. But and then from that point on, it's pretty graphic, wouldn't you say, Billy?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a good movie. What we want out of the movie is that everyone can go see it, and no one is put off. It's not put off. Not candy coated. The character Ashley Johnson is, and I told Vic today, I said, well, we need to make sure that the viewing audience knows that Ashley is an atheist when she starts. She's been locked up for 5 years. She's been robbed. She's been raped. She's everything bad to have. She is an atheist. And slowly but surely, she comes to the realization there's something more out there. Something more. And she never believes in good people. She, and as a matter of fact, one of the most touching scenes in the movie that Vic put in, she's getting in this green pickup, old green pickup. That's how they're going across the country. And she walks out in a dark parking lot, and the hoodie helps her get out
and
there.
And an Airstream.
And an Airstream trailer, right. And she walks out, and she opens the passenger door, and Gabe is in there, you know, at the steering wheel. And just as she steps in, she looks at him and says, don't hurt me. You know, just like that. Whatever you do, just don't hurt me. Like, and it's a kind of a pleading voice, you know. In other words, I know what you're going to try to do, but just don't hurt me, you know. Yeah. And he, of course, assures her he's not going to, but it shows the mindset of these kids, you know. I'll take these knots on my head, but don't hurt me. And it's really a touching. And Rosa Parks, we're not going to give away the whole plot to y'all, but she meets Rosa Parks on a bus stop. Think about that. Take all the time you need.
And I did hear you mention, are all these guys dead? But I'll give them this little bit of a nugget. When she was at Graceland, and there's this guy that's the gardener, you know, went through and all kinds of stuff. They're walking up and Gabe's with her, and the guy that's over by the grave site goes, oh, hey, what's going on, old friend? You taking care of business? You know that, you know whose favorite line.
Yep.
And he said something. He says, oh, don't be cruel. You know, that type of deal.
And songs.
She looks at the tombstone. She goes, Elvis Aaron Presley, born blah, 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 1932, died August 1977. And she looks up at this gardener, and he goes, well, I can guarantee he was born on that day, but I can't vouch for if he died on that day. And he shows her some stuff, and when they're leaving, I think that's the sign that we all know.
Ashley does not know who he is, and we pattern that after. Puck, the girl, my granddaughter that's playing the part, she didn't know who Elvis was. I had to show her video of him. But she does not know who he is. She turns around. He does a little thing about, I never was a king, you know, like that. And she, as she walks away, she goes something like, yes, you were. You were your own man. I'm sure you did quite well. And while he's tending of the mother's grave, he goes, thank you. Thank you very much.
And, you know, crooked smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. But put Rosa Parks in there and it's gonna be and it's all to help her prepare her confidence and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great story the way it all unfolds. My guys really love it. And you know, just real briefly, the neat thing about it at this time in life and all this other stuff, Atlanta or in Georgia, they've got this tax deal. You remember when Ann Richards, she started the movie Craze here in Austin, and there were some tax benefits, et cetera. And that's when I owned the Texas Country Music Association at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Long story. But anyway, she was a wonderful lady, and for whatever reason, if a war ever breaks out on the Gulf Coast, I'm your man. I can jump on a shrimp boat because she made me an admiral in the Texas Navy.
Which is, by the way, people out there making fun of me, and he said Texas Navy. He did not say U.S. Navy, okay?
That's right.
That's for you, Mr. Potato Head. Go ahead.
Texas Navy, yeah. But anyway, they have some very awesome tax credits that if you film in the Georgia area, you have to use their production facilities, so all those types of scenarios. But you can bring actors in for wherever you need to, directors, producers. They don't have to be. It's just the more the camera. Pre-production, post-production, and if you do, there's a sizable grant that's given that goes right to the bottom line, which is phenomenal in the movie industry because it's very costly. Very costly.
We get some interesting questions, especially out of Puck. Like she today, Vic called, and we were calling back and forth all day working on this poster, and she was sitting beside me, and at one point she. It is a scene in the movie where she has to climb, it's an immigration pass, I think, Vic, is what Stacy told us it was really called, mm-hmm. the Tom Pickham Pass. And she's actually been there when she lived in Utah, and she said, do I really have to climb all the way up that mountain? And we had to, no, baby, no.
Green screen.
You
got to do is show up on the set. At the back lot, and it's amazing what they can do. The movie that Billy 3-4 days ago, The Lightkeeper, it's going to be a big budget screenplay that I was blessed and so honored to write. But we just got three pretty good awards. Best writer.
Yeah, but best writer.
Screenplay.
And then
that was the, I don't remember what it is. And the other one was the International Christian whatever. It was international, though. It had a lot of contestants, and we won pretty good spot there. So we've got I've submitted Gabe to three pretty prestigious film festivals, and the one that I'm really trying to get into is Sundance. You get anything, any recognition, and it's just boom, it's instant credibility. So anybody out there listening, send up prayers for us. It's not our effort. There's something much bigger that's driving.
We've even got a spiritual moment in this already, and this is no bull. I'm not going to candy coat this. Vic, the way we were going to kill Albert, which was the molester stepfather, was several ways we were going to kill him, and we had to dispense with a lot because of the Baptist Coalition. But Vic wrote the
hey,
passage.
You need to be politically correct.
I will
abort. Bring Albert.
I know. I'll be good. anyway, Vic wrote something where Porter Rockwell, my great-grandfather, is the one that tracks him down and stops him from killing Ashley. And Albert has a gun, and he fires his gun at Porter three times, and one bullet goes through his sleeve on his left side, you know? And I called up Vic next, and I said, you're never going to believe this. I got a brand-new coat, brand-new jacket.
Right.
And yeah. I put it on this morning. I haven't worn it but like 3 or 4 hours yesterday and everything. And in the sleeve on the left side is a bullet hole. I'll send you a picture.
Exactly, Exactly how I wrote it in the script. It's just crazy.
Yeah. No, we got also, Vic taught me some things like if you write a script and you change one line, the people on the set change one line, they have to go through this long maze of copyright checks and balances, and Vic has to show up and look at it, and, okay, we'll go with that, or we won't go. It's very, very controlled. Very controlled. Hey, Vic.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, if they want to ad-lib, they can do that. It's just a nod of the head type scenario. But if it's a major course change, you know, you've got to be on set and make it official, you know, which is, it's all right with me. I mean, it sounds like it's exciting and fun, but when you take like 20, 25 takes of the same line over and over, you know what I mean? It gets monotonous.
Well, yeah, and you never know what's going to pop out, like Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs. People don't know this, but the most famous line in that movie, he just snatched out of his head. Oh, the lamb's still screaming, Clarice. Cut!
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, you know, the really neat thing about, well, first of all, before I say this, really appreciate both of y'all being on air and giving a fair and balanced type viewpoint and talking, you know, without getting too, you know, one-sided, and I love that. Mm-hmm. But you know, we need voices like you guys. And
I don't know if
there's a bunch of people out there listening, but you need to support these guys because it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of work to do this, put this show together. You know, I mean, because I know Billy and I know what he goes through in a day, especially when he's who kind of ignited the relationship back with me, both of us. And there's things going on all day long, and we still try to find time for each other to try to catch up and, you know, create. And that's what we've been doing. But it takes a show like what you guys are doing that, it's something that there's a hunger for and across the airways, and it's not something that's controlled by a corporate board that says, okay, today we're going to bash rutabagas.
The thing is, no matter what your politics are or your personal beliefs, you think about the movies and think about your kids, and no matter what you say or no matter what they learn in school now, which is terrible, think about taking your kids to a movie. What do you want them to see? What do you want them to hear?
I'll hang on.
All right.
No problem.
Mike, hang on to him. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. Gazing at people, some hand in hand, what I'm going through, they can't understand. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I'll love you.
right, we are back again. I want to get that. I like that song, except the very end of it when it gets all preachy, you know. Okay. Vic, you still there?
I'm still here. Hey, is it Mike that's back in the control room?
Yeah.
He's picking out the right songs, I'll tell you. He's doing a great job.
Is our music director. When Ted and I started, let me tell you the story of the butcher shop on RBN. Hey, Billy, this is me calling from Europe and everything. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just sitting here eating peanuts and having a cup of coffee. Well, how'd you like to do the show? Well, I guess, when you want me to start? About 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm taking a hiatus here until Jesus comes back or whatever. And we'd like to throw a show together, and I did. I called Ted up. Hey, what are you doing? I'm watching the bugs jump around on my porch. How'd you like to get on the radio tonight? We had no plan. None. Dead air for the Centroplex. You know? And Mike came
funny.
On. Mike, you know, he's the engineer, producer, chief bottle washer, everything. And we started out with V's format was going, you know, with rap format and all that. And
that's right.
You can suggest songs. I said, okay, try this, try that, try that. And he caught on to the flavor of what we were doing. And we'll suggest like an opening song, like tonight was 2-2 and stuff like that. And then he'll take it and run with it. And last night, oh my God, this guy is a genius. We had a guy on there and on a caller, and he was trying to rag me a little bit. And Mike was putting sound bites in there like Greta Thunberg. How dare you? It's all.
Yes.
It was
commanded to you. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, what I was saying before, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter what your political party is, if you have any or whatever, look at your children right now and imagine that you were going to go to a movie with your 12-year-old daughter, and you see this movie, Gabe, okay? And you take her to that, and when we're producing a movie, okay, you're going to know that nothing is going to offend, frighten, or hurt her, you know?
Right.
Oh, right. And yeah. Hang on to Pat. We're gonna go with Vic for a while. Anyway, that's what I'm after is you know, people know that, like the old Disney thing, it's not all candy coated. Vic and I and Ted come from a very, very, very rough entertainment centered world. Okay. Nashville, Austin, Hollywood, places like that. But I fell from grace so many times it ain't funny, but Vic never has. He's maintained his faith, the whole time. And Ted, Ted is a Quaker, folks. He didn't know that. He's Quaker. And he believes what he believes. And like me, you know, I jumped around. I started out as a Baptist.
Well, hey, I really like their oatmeal. Just messing with you, Ted.
Yeah, no, I like their oatmeal too. I wanted to say while you were still on the phone, back in the 90s, I was being my thinking. I was developing a new pattern of thinking, and my thinking was influenced by guys like Dan Millman and Carlos Castaneda. And when I read your book, Waking the Prophet, it just fit right into it. It added a catalyst. That really helped me line things up, because I believe that there is. Billy and I call it the never never.
Yeah.
But I really believe that there. Science calls it dark matter and dark light, you know, but dark energy. But I really believe that there is a spiritual world all around us in this material world that we live in, and. And that book really, I still got that paperback around here somewhere.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the book I wrote?
Yeah.
You're kidding. You're one of the only ones that's ever written it.
What's your goal here?
I know for a fact I'm not. I've communicated with two or three other people. I looked up some reviews on your book, and you've got a 5-star rating. But this is something I didn't know until recently. But in those days, we had kind of a network of people who communicated with people. I used to hang out with a guy named Rolling Thunder up in Nevada. For instance, his real name was John Pope, and he was an Indian chief of a dispossessed number of indigenous people that who were being, you know, attacked by the BLM, really, and so your name has come up more than once in many conversations that I've had.
That's crazy. I mean, it's a small world. There's no doubt.
Well, you've had an influence on it. Well, like with me, and I
dodge incessantly. I will come up with good ideas or good stuff, and I will automatically attribute that to somebody else. That's a mental quirk that I've got that I always do. I'll come up with a saying or even an article. I frequently, with the butcher shop, will write an article. And I'll pick one of the butcher shop writers and just put their name on it, you know. Because I just I'm very anonymous in a lot of things I do, and I the only time that I've ever seen this come to fruit was once out in California when I was at a party and a guy walked up and asked me if I was so and so. I said, "Yeah, yes, I am." And he goes, "I've read everything you ever wrote." And I said, "Well, that was a short read, you know, like that." And he goes, no, really, really. I've read everything you ever wrote, and I've always wanted to talk to you." And when somebody does that, it has an effect on you. It's like, oh, my God, people are actually reading this crap, you know?
You know, I was, have y'all ever heard of, he's a Hall of Famer, Jerry Sizemore?
Oh, yeah.
You heard that name? He's a very dear friend of mine. Anyway, in that book, Waking God's Prophet, you know, I coined this phrase that, you know, the world will call, like, this meeting that we're having today over the air a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. But I coined this phrase that there are sequences of time that God releases when it's... the time for all of us to meet together, or you chance to meet somebody. And I coined this phrase, God sequence. And so that became Jerry's, one of his favorite words. So he was he goes to the Super Bowl every year. And he is a, you know, legend type guy. So he'll call me. He says, "Man, I had a talk with the guys in the locker room, and they're all saying God sequence." You know, that's one little thing. And then, He would call me. I've been with him when Coach Royal would call and stuff like that. But he he was with the governor, and he says, "Guess what I got the governor saying?" I said, "Let me guess, God sequence." He says, "Yes." Yeah. So anyway, he had a condition. I don't want to go into it, but he went to Mexico, and they did this incredible, innovative type surgery, and it's using prisms and all this stuff. And so he went through it. I mean, it was like unbelievable. And he says, "Hey, man, I sent you a link. I want you to look at it." And I said, "All right." He says, "It's a commercial that I just did in Mexico for this doctor." I said, "Oh, that's cool." So I opened it up, and this doctor's saying, you know, that this and that about the procedure. And he says, "I just want to let you know that meeting Jerry Sizemore was a God sequence." I about fell off of my chair, you know. I mean, so that was his goal, is to spread that word around, you know.
Suffice it to say, Coach Royal and my family have a history going way back. And he was a man among men. And
yes, he was.
And his son was a good kid. And did you know Ben Crenshaw at all?
I knew of him, you know, and it's one of those, walk in the room type deals, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't know me from Adam.
Yeah, walk in the room is, you know, that's still something to me. It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is. If you're in the same room with Ben Crenshaw and Harvey Pennick and, you know, that crowd. You're talking about good Christian people who made this world stable for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I guess the greatest honor that I had was we went to a country club that Darryl Royal was a member of, and, we had lunch with him. And he told me personally, because he was good friends with Willie Nelson, and he says, I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. He says, the song that Patsy Cline sang that was...
Crazy.
What is it?
Crazy.
Crazy. You know that story? And I said, oh, yes, sir. And he said, it belonged to, and I can't think of his name, Billy, but he was a prolific songwriter around the Austin area. And he had the melody down, but the song was Baby, da 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 da, you know. So Willie says, hey, I've got this idea. Would you mind if I use your melodic, structure? And he said, sure. Now, this is coming straight from Coach Royal, so this ain't Vic Quinton talking. This is Coach Royal. He says, Willie told me, he just said, I went crazy, da-da-da-da, and that's how he got the song Crazy. And then the rest of
amazing.
The music, man, what an incredible lunch that was.
I met Hank Cochran. John Brandt introduced me to him in Nashville. We went out to his house to help repair a soundboard for him, and he was good friends with Willie and everything. But I met him, and I got into his kitchen, and he came down in a moo-moo, got up that morning and told us, I'll be out in a minute. I'm going to get dressed. I'm washed up. I'll be right down. I got pizza over there. They always have a stack of pizzas, over there, and there's beer in the box. And I said,
I got a pizza story after you get this one done.
I can't drink any beer right now, Mr. Cochran. Well, why not? Well, my wife doesn't want me drinking beer, around the house. Well, you're not around your house. You're around my house. Well, my wife didn't want me drinking beer at all. And he looked at me dead serious and said, now that woman's crazy.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm going to give you my pizza story. We're at this concert, and I'm on the bus with Dash Cross, Stills and Cross. You guys know Dash.
Yeah.
And so Willie's bus is pointed right in our, facing us. So we're nose to nose. And we don't have the blinds up. He does. And Dash goes, hey, I'd sure like to meet him. I said, give me a break. You've met him. I've never met him since we played, 10,000 seat stadiums, and I'd always be on, at one time slot, and then he'd be on, and we just never met. He says, can you go hook me up? I want to go meet him. I said, I'll see what I can do, So long story short, you have protocol, so you find the road manager. You know how all that goes, Billy. So I got the road manager. And I said, hey, I got somebody on board that really wants to meet Willie. He was in, never forget it, he was in a suit. We with tennis shoes, and he's talking on the phone, and I was like a leopard that, you know, came up to him or something, you know, begging for pence or whatever they used to do, and kind of waved his hand at me. And I said, that's fine, whatever. And I turned around and went in the bus, dashed away, and I said, man, that guy's a jerk. So all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, there's a little knock on the door, and I opened it up. And he says, hey, man, I'm sorry. I was on a very important call. I said, that's cool. All right, that's cool. He says, well, now, who do you have on board? And I leaned back, and I said, this is Dash Cross. And this guy freaked out. He was just a Sylvan Cross, you know, uh-huh. fan. And I said, do you think you could set it up? He really wants to meet Willie. He goes, you bet. It's nice, you know, and all that. You can imagine. So he runs over there in that suit, and I'll never forget seeing those white tennis shoes with it, him running in that suit to the bus. And he comes back, and he said, it's going to be about 30 minutes. Mr. Nelson's taking a nap. I said, that's cool. So we had the door shut, right? And all of a sudden, probably 20 minutes later, there comes this guy with a bunch of pizza boxes going into the bus. And I looked at Dash, and he's like, well, you know, a word or a picture is worth a thousand words. Wouldn't you say, brother? I said, yes, sir. So about, 15 minutes later, road manager comes up, and I go, I said, all right, go ahead. And he said, no, you're going. I said, I'm not going. He says, you're going. I want you to videotape this. I said, Dash, God. I said, all right, hang on. You have to go through protocol. Go get the road manager. You don't want to just show up with a camera. You know how all that works. I said, would you mind if it's okay if I videotape this for Dash? And he says, that's cool. He comes back and says, yeah, absolutely. He's very excited. So here I am. I'm on board first. I'm trying to figure out this goofy little camera, you know. And Willie looks up, and he doesn't know me from Adam. But he's so sharp. He remembers sort of me, you know, from something, but it was Dale. Dale and I met him, Dale McBride. And he remembered that. And I was like in shock. I said, well, you know, nice meeting you again, blah, 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 this and that. And I said, I want to introduce you to Dash Cross. This is his wife, Louise. You know, they hugged it out and they sat down and they started talking about, your music, man. It was like my favorite romantic song to put on when I had, you know, some sweet thing. And I'm going, Louise is sitting there. And Dash says, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I put on a lot of Willie. Now, you know, I'm just going, oh, my gosh, what's this leading to? So anyway, he pulls out this map. And come to find out, Dash, they had a ranch out by Round Top. And since the 1800s, they sold it. Recently for a nice spread. But Willie's had another piece of property that bordered his ranch. They never knew it all these years. You know, not the one in Spicewood, but this one was out Round Top.
Yeah.
So that was a very memorable time, you know, and the pizza kind of jogged my memory on that.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what time our histories and such that it's been a fulfilling life. There's no doubt. Lots of great memories.
Well, you know, Vic, one thing, when we got into this thing with the movie, it was Pam that she's told me out of the blue, call Vic. Okay, well, no, just call Vic. Tell him what your idea is and everything and get in touch with him. And you know, because of who you are, you know, and you're an old friend, but you're who you, man, I can't do that. That's crazy. You know, I can't. Oh no, call him. And I called Vic, and well, we got a movie on the skids now. I mean, so yeah. And there it is.
Yeah, it was like we started where we left off. You know.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, well, we had a lot of I'm not going to mention most of the names, but we had a lot of people that studio brought into, into the industry, and they did quite well. There was three of them in the studio last night, and it was a shock, but they just went off in this 5-10 minute deal, how that studio changed their life. And I had no idea. I had no idea. But you remember who our little star was that I was her first producer? You remember who that was?
I remember her well. I still got a love for her. Yeah. She would call up and have me help introduce her show, and I was nobody. She was a star. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt. We got her. I got to produce. I wrote a couple songs for her, so that was pretty neat to be able to be her very first producer, back all those years ago. Cool. And, she went to California, excuse me, and the rest is history. I mean, she just took off on Kids Incorporated with Disney, and then bounced to Party of Five and Ghost Whisperer, and then now she's doing, of course, she did I Know What You Did Last Summer, all those movies and such. Mm-hmm. So, when I bowed out of the music industry, I did it with both feet, you know what I mean? You remember.
Yeah.
And I lost all contact with Love. That's how we know her, is Love Hewitt. Her family, just a lot of people within in the industry just walked away, pretty much. But we're back.
Yep.
Boy, people are starting to come out of the woodwork.
I hate to call this part of you a halt, but I just got notice from Mike that we're going to have to call it to an end. Vic, thank you so much.
Hey, you bet. It's an honor to be on, fellas. Mike, I can't wait to meet you in person, straight up.
Thanks.
And Ted, really, thanks for being such a big support for everybody. God bless everybody out there.
Been a real pleasure meeting somebody who influenced me as much as you did.
Yeah.
When you read the book Saving Carrie, there will be a chapter called The Hero's Hand.
By the way, folks, this is Vic Quinton, the producer and everything. And let me say this one line right fast before V fires me. Quentin. In age of surveillance, the man with the three eyes is king, so educate yourself. I have to say that or I get in trouble. See y'all tomorrow.
God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless everyone.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real.
Take a red pill. Say hello to my little friend. Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.